My name is Alexa Rowland, and I am the Outreach and Recruitment Analyst for IIE, the Institute of International Education. I am based in New York City, and so that is where I am coming from. And today our webinar is going to highlight some opportunities to Australia specifically. We have about 14 awards to Australia, so a lot of information to cover. And so I'm going to present an overview of the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, kind of a general overview with Australia tidbits here and there, and then I'll move into those specific 14 awards available to Australia. And hopefully we will have ample time for questions for you all. So feel free to start writing in those questions throughout the presentation. I just won't get to them until a bit later on. Or alternatively, see if your questions are answered throughout the presentation and then submit at the end. So to get us started, I want to talk about the history of the Fulbright program. In 1945, after World War II, Senator J. William Fulbright of Arkansas introduced a bill to use surplus war property in order to fund an increase in mutual understanding between people of the U.S. and people of other countries. So instead of funneling this surplus money into military, he proposed funding it into an international exchange program to hopefully increase those bonds between people of the U.S. and other countries. So President Truman then signed the bill into law in 1946, and Congress created the Fulbright Program. So the primary source of funding for the Fulbright Program is an annual appropriation by the U.S. Congress to the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, also known as ECA. And then my organization, IIE, administers the program on behalf of ECA in the U.S., and Fulbright commissions and embassies abroad administer the program overseas. So moving on to the next slide, who are Fulbrighters? Over 380,000 Fulbrights have been awarded since the program's inception in 1946. And these awardees are made up of a number of different types of scholars who then go on to receive Nobel laureates, to receive Pulitzer Prizes, and become MacArthur Fellows. So this is just a slide to kind of give you a feel of what being a Fulbright recipient means and where it could take you upon your return to the U.S. So the core awards are composed of teaching, research, and teaching research activities for 3 to 12 months. And as I kind of proceed throughout this presentation, you'll see a lot of requirements and kind of outlines of the program do depend on the specific award you are applying to. So do keep that in mind. If you haven't already listened to webinars about Fulbright, oftentimes you will hear it depends. And that just kind of is due to the binationality of the program itself. So it depends on what the country you're proposing to go to, what their kind of priorities are, what they're looking for in scholars, and so on and so forth. So some countries do offer all discipline awards, whereas others are seeking specific disciplines or specializations. So, but overall, there's a Fulbright available in each discipline. And again, you'll just want to make sure that you've identified an award in which the specific parameters fit your proposed project. So it really is about digging into that catalog of awards and seeing which one makes sense for you. The application deadline for this current competition cycle is Wednesday, August 1st. And for most awards, but not all, you will be affiliating with a host institution. So they'll act as your home base while in country, and they will provide the resources you need in order to feasibly conduct the research project you're proposing to do once in country. I will mention here that not all awards require an affiliation. In fact, some request no affiliation at all, so please don't be deterred if you don't have points of contact already. And for the awards to Australia specifically, many of those kind of partnership awards with institutions in Australia have points of contact within that award detail in the catalog. So these are great points of contact to kind of start, hit the ground running, get get a discussion going about the project you're hoping to propose and seeing if it is a good fit at that institution in particular. So I'll talk a little bit more about that later on as we go through all of the awards. So overall program eligibility requirements are shown here, and ultimately you must be a U.S. citizen at the time of application. So by August 1 this year, if you're planning to apply for this year, you must be a U.S. citizen. The other requirements are award specific. So some awards are open to professionals outside of academia, and within that catalog, you can update the search feature. There's advanced search functionality so that you can seek specifically those awards if that fits your profile. Some are open to those who currently have their PhD or other terminal degree. And additionally, we have awards available to postdoctoral candidates as well. Regarding the teaching experience, each award does list under additional qualifications how many years of teaching they would like each applicant to have. And sometimes they'll even include the type of teaching they would count. So maybe not a teaching assistantship doesn't count. However, your years of experience at a community college or at the university level do count. So again, as with all award requirements, if you have a question and are unsure of your eligibility, do feel free to send a copy of your CV to the appropriate program staff listed within that award, who can then kind of help and see if you do kind of check these requirements. If you're a Fulbright Scholar alum, you are eligible to apply again once it has been 2 years past your grant period end date. So it is possible to receive multiple Fulbright grant opportunities, so don't be deterred if you have applied already. All right, so Fulbright in Australia. So we're excited to share the new opportunities available in Australia. And for 2019 to 2020, this current competition cycle, there are 14 awards available, two of which are new. So we've worked to expand the accessibility of these awards, and most career stages will find an award that is suited to them within Australia. So as Australia is quite large, about the same size as the U.S., and most of the awards in Australia are specific to a university, right? So you'll find them to be partnership awards is what we refer to them as. So we've included a map of Australia here for your reference that kind of highlights where those universities are located. Opportunities are available in most areas, as you can see, from the University of Newcastle's Postdoctoral and Distinguished Chair Awards in the East to the Distinguished Chair in Science, Technology, and Innovation with CSIRO's many locations throughout Australia, including the Northern Territory. So a few key points to note for all awards to Australia are that they are for research-only activities. They have a January or February 2020 start date. And they have a special project statement requirement, which asks applicants to include a brief personal statement. And I'll give some more information about that later on in the presentation. Also, all of the awards to Australia do require a letter of invitation. However, as I mentioned before, many of those partnership awards provide that point of contact within the award requirements page. So again, they're going to be your first contact discussing the project. Okay, so over the next few slides, we will dive into these awards in a bit more detail. And we'll start with the postdoctoral awards, then we'll move on to the scholar awards, and then finally the distinguished chair awards, which you can see there are many of. So do keep in mind that eligibility for each of these awards does vary. So again, you'll just want to ensure that you're meeting them specifically by viewing them closely within that catalog of awards. So the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is offering two awards for postdoctoral applicants in Australia this year. So for these awards, applicants must attain their doctorate by the proposed start date of their grant opportunity, or your PhD must have been completed within the last 5 years. So those are kind of the broader eligibility requirements for these awards in particular. So the postdoctoral scholarship in all disciplines is open to academics only, and selected candidates will be hosted by Deakin University. In the top 2% of world universities, Deakin University is a leader in higher education and has a reputation for being innovative, nimble, and friendly. So this postdoctoral scholarship opportunity is open to academics as well, and from multiple disciplines, with research to be conducted, at the University of Newcastle, a research leader in the fields of health, engineering, and energy. This award has been updated to accommodate a wider range of applicants in fields related to health and science. And so by multiple disciplines, again, we encourage you to go ahead and take a look at the award details to see those disciplines in particular that they're referring to. But posted here are those priority disciplines for this award. And again, for this award, you will find contact information for the Office of the Pro Vice Chancellor within that award requirements section. And you may contact them for inquiries on the required letter of invitation. So moving on to the Scholar Awards. This award in particular is open to academics at the level of associate or full professor to conduct research in the areas of resources, energy, and engineering. Located in Perth, Curtin University is a world leader in geoscience and resource engineering research. Falling over these words. This is an opportunity for you to contribute to global innovation and growth in these sectors while advancing your research. Also open to academics at the level of associate or full professor, undertake research, consult on curriculum, and participate in graduate and faculty seminars at the University of Canberra, located in Australia's capital city. A letter of invitation is required, and again, a point of contact is provided. Undertake a research project to contribute to key research areas at the University of Technology, Sydney, a world-class research-intensive institution with a rapidly growing reputation for its research quality and impact across a wide range of fields. This award seeks applications for research programs in data science, such as social robotics and forensic intelligence, sustainability and climate change adaption and water management, as well as health economics and services research. Open to academics at the level of associate or full professor, CQ University, also known as Central Queensland University, seeks applications in all appropriate fields. And so this is a new award for this current competition cycle. We haven't partnered with CQ University before. And ranked in the top 2% of universities worldwide in the Times Higher Education World University Rankings, CQ University is strategically focused on engagement and social innovation, undertaking changemaker research and delivering research impact across its broad geographical footprint. This award aims to advance scholarship in the priority fields of strategic studies, technology, and innovation through the exchange of ideas, research collaboration, and cultural understanding between American and Australian scholars. Open to academics, including lecturers, this opportunity allows you to conduct research in contemporary aspects of the Alliance and the broader bilateral relationship of interest to both Alliance partners. The Scholar Award offers the opportunity for researchers to propose a project in any discipline. It is not a partnership award, and as such, academics and appropriately qualified professionals are welcome to undertake research in your area of expertise at any appropriate institution. So perhaps you have a local scholar in Australia that you've been hoping to collaborate with, or a university in mind that doesn't offer a partnership award, then this right here is going to be the opportunity for you to propose that project. Although it's not a partnership award, I will note a letter of invitation is still required. So you will want to ensure that if you have your eye set on an institution in Australia, you're still able to obtain that letter of invitation prior to the application deadline. So we'll now discuss the Distinguished Chair Awards that are available. to Australia this year. The Distinguished Chair Awards may vary in their requirements for qualification. Generally, an applicant should be an associate or full professor, have about 10 years of experience in his or her field, and have a significant publication and teaching record. That said, if you have any questions about your eligibility, again, please don't hesitate to contact us. For awards to Australia and the East Asia and Pacific region in general, our email is eastasiapacific@iie.org, and it's also listed, again, within those award details on the website. So this award is the second of two awards hosted at the University of Newcastle. In the award description, you will find a more expansive list of priority research areas that we do encourage you to explore. Here you'll see some highlighted as well. Open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals, a distinguished chair through this award will be able to conduct research at a campus dedicated to health and energy development. So the Distinguished Chair in Science, Technology, and Innovation Award is open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals. And here the Distinguished Chair will conduct innovative scientific research related to critical challenges facing the U.S. and Australia at CSIRO, Australia's leading multidisciplinary research organization. CSIRO is committed to excellence and innovation in scientific research, along with promoting international scientific liaisons and dissemination of information about science and technology with a mission to deliver impact for the benefit of industry, society, and the environment. And they also have multiple locations throughout Australia, which I pointed to a bit on that map of Australia as well. So do connect, check out their website and see which research center might make the most sense for your project. Again, there's a point of contact for this award as well, who can kind of put you in touch with a research center that would make sense for your project as well. So Flinders University and Carnegie Mellon University Australia are partnering in presenting this Distinguished Chair in Applied Public Policy Award. While at Carnegie Mellon University Australia, the selected Distinguished Chair will host guest lectures and teach a mini course in addition to their research. And this kind of goes along the same lines for the other award opportunities available as well. Although they are research-only focused, many do offer the opportunity to guest lecture and engage with faculty and student while on your grant opportunity. So this increased opportunity for impact and cross-cultural collaboration presents a unique opportunity to candidates. This award is open to a variety of disciplines, and particularly, applications must focus on a significant current applied public policy issue at an international and/or national policy level. Contact information is provided for each university within the award details, and the award is open to professionals outside of academia. Only one letter of invitation is required from either Flinders University or Carnegie Mellon University, Australia. So again, you don't need to reach out to both contacts. You can decide which one makes the most sense. So this Distinguished Chair in Advanced Science and Technology presents a unique opportunity for selected candidates to conduct research within the Defense Science and Technology Group, or its partner institutions. DST is the Australian government lead agency responsible for applying science and technology to safeguard Australia and its national interests. They work to be a world leader in defense science and technology. We encourage you to read of their work in considering your application to this award, and you can be linked to their website within that award details. Their many locations and partner institutions also allow for a wide array of work and proposals. Additionally, you'll find a more refined list of key areas of interest within that award description. And again, this award does provide a contact at DST, and it's open to academics as well as appropriately qualified professionals. The Australian National University invites senior academics to undertake collaborative research with faculty in the arts, humanities, and social sciences. The distinguished chair will also engage with faculty, staff, and students through guest lectures, seminars, and one-on-one interactions, and will explore long-term collaborations and institutional linkages between his or her home institution and the ANU. Connect with the dean of the ANU College of Arts and Social Sciences, contact listed on the award details, in order to discuss your project. Our final award is the Distinguished Chair in Entrepreneurship and Innovation at RMIT. RMIT is a global university of technology, design, and enterprise. It aims to solve critical global problems through its 8 enabling capability platforms, which you see listed here as the priority specializations. The contact information for the university is provided in the award description, and this award is also open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals. All right, so after reviewing all of those awards available to Australia, you'll really want to narrow down which one makes the most sense for your project, as well as your qualifications. Additionally, you will want to think about why you are seeking this specific award to conduct this specific research in Australia. Why do you need to be in country to complete what you are proposing to do? Again, if you have questions about your qualifications, be it your career level or teaching experience, I'd recommend reaching out to program staff so that we can make sure it's an appropriate fit. All right, so what does an application consist of? We'll collect basic biographical information within the application form. Then there's the project statement, which is the main component of your application, in that this is your proposal, where you will outline what you hope to do while on this grant opportunity. And additionally, as I mentioned earlier, Australia has their own requirement for all awards. Within this project statement, applicants must clearly include a brief personal statement to share their story, the trajectory they have followed, and the plans for the future. Information regarding this brief personal statement is also listed within those award requirements. It's just a little bit hidden. It's under the award requirements tab, and then scroll on down to additional information. So you'll just want to make sure you are, in fact, including this within your application so you don't get stopped at tech review, which I will speak to in a few more slides. So additionally, you will upload a CV or resume, which you will definitely want to tailor to your award, right? You're going to highlight the experience and abilities you have that make sense for the award you're applying to. And the reason you'll want to tailor it is we do have a page limit. So for most awards, your CV should be no more than 6 pages. And then if you're applying for a Distinguished Chair Award, it should not exceed 8 pages. You will register 3 references who will then submit letters of reference on your behalf through a different kind of portal. So you won't be submitting their letters. They will go ahead and log in and do so on your behalf. And then depending on the type of grant activity or the award, you might be asked to submit a syllabi, a select bibliography, and the select bibliography is required for all research awards, which again are all of the awards to Australia, a language proficiency report, letter of invitation, or supplemental materials if you're applying in a creative arts discipline. So as you've heard, awards do vary, and so they also vary in letter of invitation requirement. For some, it is needed in order to apply. For others, it's preferred or strongly preferred. And for all awards to Australia, a letter of invitation is required. Many of the partnership awards, again, which are linked to specific institutions, do provide that point of contact in the award requirements tab, so definitely check there first. If it's not listed, and you're free to identify your own host institution, there are several routes you can go. Some applicants begin by reaching out to the head of a relevant department, but we also encourage applicants to contact specific professors or researchers with interests similar to their own. Also, when reaching out to foreign universities for the first time, We generally suggest that scholars send a copy of their CV and a brief description of the grant activities that they're hoping to pursue. So this will engage in a back and forth, a conversation until you likely get that letter of invitation. It's more so, again, to see if they have the need and want to host you as well, right? It's a mutual exchange program. So as much as what you're hoping to get out of the award experience, it is what the host is hoping to get from your expertise and your skills while being on campus. In addition to reviewing the university websites, you may also find it helpful to survey the work of past Fulbrighters. And so we do have the Fulbright Scholar Directory on our website. And this page allows you to search for program alumni by grant year, host country, host institution, and discipline. And again, it also has information for visiting Fulbright scholars. So it could be the case that you connect with a visiting scholar from Australia this way. All right, so how will your application be competitive? We recommend that you keep the larger Fulbright mission of promoting this mutual understanding in mind, right? This is the overarching goal of the Fulbright program, and it's not lost on reviewers or the posts and commissions abroad. So it definitely does play a part when they are going through and selecting finalists. So why are you interested in conducting this project in the proposed host country you've identified? What will this do for you and your home institution, as well as your host institution, right? Again, what expertise and skills can you offer? Where is that exchange of knowledge and experience in your project? How is that coming across? Additionally, you will want to articulate your personal qualifications of being flexible and adaptable. How will you make for a great unofficial U.S. cultural ambassador while abroad? Almost as important as what you are going to do once you are in country, are those long-lasting outcomes and impacts that this project will have for your professional development, for your home campus, for future collaborators and relationships, as well as perhaps internationalizing your home campus and curriculum? What are those long-lasting kind of multiplier effects that occur from your experience abroad? Okay, so the timeline. Typically in August, once the applications have been received, IIE staff then conducts a technical review process in order to ensure all required components of the application are accounted for. And then it moves on to a two-step review process in the U.S. The first is a discipline peer review committee, which reviews applications and makes comments from a discipline-specific perspective. Then it moves on to the regional peer review committee for consideration. And this regional committee is made up of people who have in-country experience and who look through the applications against the review criteria, which is a resource located on our website that I highly encourage you all to take a look at. This review criteria is what reviewers are literally going through and basing your application off of. So once that peer review and their recommendations are made, those applications which are recommended will go overseas to our colleagues abroad for that final selection. And so this will be the point in time where you will receive kind of your first decision through this long process. So November to January, you'll be notified of your status. And what I will note here is that for the final selection, grantees are notified on a rolling basis. So it's not the case that everyone finds out at the same time. It's usually done by country, so it's possible that your colleague who applied to Japan will be notified in March, yet it's May and you still don't know about your Australia application. So this is where your patience and adaptability are already kind of in effect, right, as these notifications are finalized and released. So we recognize that it is a large window, but we do appreciate your patience with us as we get those lists coming in. And so here are some application resources that I've been referring to available on our website throughout the presentation. So again, I strongly encourage you to visit our website and view these resources. They are there for you and will hopefully kind of help to piece together the application as a whole. As I mentioned, the peer review does look at applications against that review criteria, so you'll want to make sure your application addresses those kind of checklist-type items that reviewers are looking for. Additionally, I'd recommend looking at the specific project statement guidance and the broader application guidelines. The guidelines can really help to see, based on the type of grant activity you're applying for, what components are needed for your application to be whole. And again, if you haven't already, do sign up for My Fulbright. It's a website where you can register your interests, be it regional or discipline related, and then you can receive relevant information about awards that pertain to those interests. All right, so for each award, there is regional program staff available. And so for East Asia and the Pacific in particular, it's eastasiapacific@iie.org. So do feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions or concerns as you work through the application process. And lastly, if you're interested in Fulbright, but maybe this current competition cycle isn't going to work for you time-wise, do refer your colleagues using the referral link on our website so that we can then follow up with them as appropriate. And so now I will go ahead and open this webinar up for questions. And I think we've had a couple come in already, so just bear with me one moment while I take a look. Okay, so one question came in about, is there a list of the appropriate institution for Australia? And so all of the partnership awards are going to be explicit in that catalog of awards information, and so you can access them there. And I can go ahead and show, let me go ahead and show you all how to do so. It's awards.cies.org. And then you can choose the country you're interested in or the region. But for the sake of this webinar, let's go ahead and do Australia. And we can see what's available. So you'll see here that the partnership award countries do list that institution right within the title. And if you click into it, oftentimes the university is hyperlinked here, and you can go ahead and click for more information, familiarize yourself with that university if you're not already. And then, again, this is where you'll see those kind of preferred disciplines, if there are any. And under the award requirements tab here is where I was referencing continuously throughout that the presentation. Here you'll see those contacts that you can directly email or phone if the phone number is provided to discuss your project and to hopefully then obtain that required letter of invitation. Okay, bear with me a little bit longer. Let me just take a look at these questions. Okay, so what specific steps should be taken to initiate the Scholar in All Disciplines Award? Are there multiple awards available? So thank you. And this kind of speaks to another question, the difference between award and grants. And so you'll see here for the RMIT University Award, the award refers to this opportunity, right? And so pretty much, if you think of it this way, the code for the award in particular, this is where it'll house all of the requirements and details that you need to know for that award. And then over to the right here, you'll see the number of grants available for this current competition cycle for that award. So for this award in particular, they are looking to seek one U.S. scholar to end up receiving this award. So let me go back and go to that all disciplines award in particular. And so you'll see here, because this is not a partnership award and you can go ahead and identify those institutions yourself, they're expecting to be able to provide grants to up to six scholars. So again, that's just where you'll find that information. And so to begin with this process, I would recommend thinking about scholars that you've collaborated with in the past or that you hope to collaborate with in the future, right? So if conducting your own research, you've identified Australian scholars who are kind of at the precipice or along the same lines in the fields that you're hoping to kind of engage with in this opportunity, then reach out to them or see where their home institution is. And again, I want to say here for this award, it doesn't have to be a higher education institution, right? So it can be a university, but it can also be a research center or any other appropriate institution for the work that you are proposing. Okay, let me go on to the next question. Okay, is there a template for the letter of invitation, especially for those awards in which, where you can go to any host institution? So for this all disciplines scholar opportunity, we don't have a set template, and this can pretty much be written as they see fit. And so what we do recommend that the host outlines within this letter of invitation are the activities for which you're invited, the period of time for which you're invited, and a description of their interest in your project and how it will benefit their institution as well. Kind of with, you know, all of these letters, letters of reference, letter of invitation, as specific as they can be, the better, right? Reviewers will want to see, you know, kind of why you need to be in that host country. And if you have a detailed, specific letter of invitation, that can be a good indication for why you need to be there. Okay. I have a question about what percentage of applications are awarded each year in Australia, and that unfortunately we're unable to speak to the competitiveness of each award, but also of regions or countries as well. It's a Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board policy. And so what we say here is that we just encourage you to really find the award that fits the project you're hoping to do, right? So as we've seen, Australia has 14 awards, and 13 of which are pretty much pretty specific in what they're hoping to, what kind of project they're hoping to receive an application from, right? So if you're able to, I kind of narrow it down. Let me go ahead and show just quickly this advanced search feature, right? So if you have Australia selected, then you can go in and you can see, you can tag for specific specific disciplines that you are interested in pursuing work under, as well as perhaps your category, right? This is where you can seek only postdoctoral awards or the Distinguished Chair Awards if that's what you're interested in and if that's where your professional qualifications seat you. And so then you can do a quick search, and you'll see four awards were found with chemistry and the Distinguished Awards, the Distinguished Chair title. So again, bear with me 1 second. Okay, will there be a digital form of this presentation for download? Yes, thank you for asking that. I'm sorry for not mentioning it earlier. This presentation is going to be recorded. It is being recorded, and it will be posted on our website, pretty much where you were able to find this webinar posting and register. We have an archive section on our website as well. Okay. Do all of the awards have to start in 2020? So, yes, for this current competition cycle, all awards to Australia, that is. They do have a January or February 2020 start date that is strict. And the reason being they have a whole gala event and kind of an orientation dinner in country for those Fulbright grantees who are selected. So they want you to engage and meet your cohort of other fellow scholars attending or fellow scholars going to Australia as well. And those grant period lengths, again, I'm just going into an award for an example, but you can see the grant length. They do vary. Some are as short as 3 months, and then I think the longest is going to be 6 months to propose for Australia. Okay. What is the typical amount of financial award for Australian Fulbright, and can we bring our family? Okay, great question. So under each award, you can go into the award benefits tab here, and you'll find an estimate for the amount that scholar grantees receive, right? So generally, you will have, you know, your travel will be funded on this grant opportunity to and from the country, and then you will receive a monthly stipend for while you're on your grant duration. And so, again, the dependent, bringing dependents along with you does vary country to country. For Australia, you are able to bring you're able to bring your dependent with you, and you'll see here even they do offer a tuition allowance for those who will be enrolled in the Australian public school system in grades K through 12. Tuition fees may be waived. So yes, you are welcome to bring your dependents with you. Okay, so let me go on to the next question. For the letter of invitation, must they be mailed with the official letterhead of the host country, or may we upload those documents after they've been electronically shared with us? Great question. Yes, you will be uploading the letter of invitation within the application system online. So it does not need to be mailed to you with official letterhead. It does look good, right, if the letter is still on official letterhead, even just as an upload. So just keep that in mind. It's not required to be on letterhead, I will say. But we do recommend, if possible, to get it on letterhead. It presents a better letter to reviewers. So if you can, do it. And yes, they don't need to be mailed. Okay, moving on. Can I apply to more than one country? So for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, we have multi-country award opportunities. So there's the Global Scholar Award opportunity, which you can propose to conduct research in two or three countries in two or three world regions. But for multi-country award opportunities, we don't have any multi-country awards for Australia specifically. So you can't apply to multiple awards for each competition cycle. So again, kind of referring back to this code for each award opportunity, that is the award in which you're applying to. So just keep that in mind. And let me see what else we have here. Thank you for bearing with me. Okay, I am a retired academic or professional. Can I still go on a Fulbright grant? So yes, the Fulbright Scholar Program does welcome scholars and professionals at all stages of their career. What I will say, though, is that some awards do make it explicit that they are seeking current if it's a teaching award per se, that they're seeking current professors and current teachers for this experience. Additionally, as is required of all applicants, the project statement should address the expected benefits of the Fulbright grant to you professionally and personally and to the U.S., but also to your host institution. So to the U.S. is kind of a broader question than just kind of to your home institution, right? So if you are a retired academic or professional, you'll want to speak to how you're going to share your experience upon your return to the U.S. Okay. Let's see. Okay, can I apply to the Fulbright Scholar Program if I am on the Fulbright Specialist roster? So yes, you are allowed to apply to the Fulbright Scholar Program while on the specialist roster. However, recipients of a Fulbright Specialist Program grant are not required to adhere to that two-year waiting period, right? So likewise, recipients of the Fulbright Scholar Grant aren't required to adhere to the two-year waiting period before applying to the specialist program. So it's just an understanding that should you be selected to receive the grant while on your opportunity abroad, you wouldn't be able to kind of be selected off of that specialist roster during those months. Let's see, a couple of more questions. Do I have to know a foreign language? So for Australia, no. English is the main language there, so that's fine on that front. If you're looking at other opportunities in which English is not the main language, then you will have to, again, take a look at those award requirements specifically, but for most lecturers, English is the language that you will be teaching in. And then if you're applying for a research award, ultimately they look to see that you have the foreign language ability in order to feasibly conduct the research you're proposing to do. And if you don't have that language ability, oftentimes they will outline a requirement for you to speak to how then you are going to complete your research project, right? And I will say it does help to kind of have an introduction to the local language. Again, this doesn't really pertain to Australia, but any other country in which the local language is not English, we again want to see how you are going to engage with the community, the local community outside of your specific research project. And so knowing the local language, even introductory level, can be helpful in that process. Okay, so I'm not seeing any more questions coming in. I'll wait a few more minutes and just see if we have any kind of lingering questions. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I know we have some questions that are a bit more detailed and more personal, so I will be following up with those attendees separately. But let's see, I'll give it a couple more minutes. Thank you all again so much for taking the time to join me for the webinar presentation today. And as always, don't hesitate to reach out to eastasiapacific@iie.org. Again, you'll see that information outlined within each award detail here. And you'll see my contact information, my phone number, so please don't hesitate to reach out. And we hope to receive an application from you all. All right, have a great day. Take care.